9 days. Who waits 9 days to do this? It's Anna and Raven. 9 days is the average amount of days that an American will drive with the check engine light on in their car before they actually do something about it.
Oh, I got to be real with you. Like, I thought it would be much longer, to tell you the truth. I think people blow that thing off. Like, and think about it. It's like a doctor's office sometimes right now when you're trying to get into your dealership. You call them up. You want an appointment. Yeah, we'll see you in 5 or 6 days. What if that day doesn't work for you? You remember what happened when I ignored mine.
Right. Your car blew up on the side of the road.
Well, I was going to say it all worked out fine.
Yeah, you had to get a new car, Raven. For most people, that doesn't mean working out fine.
Well, I like the color of this one better.
Okay. You know, I just think that this is so crazy because I'm one of those people that the minute the check engine light comes on, I am terrified. I don't want to get stuck on the side of the road somewhere and, like, be helpless. Yeah. So I immediately tell my husband, we have to trade cars. There's something wrong with this one.
Well, you did have that terrible incident, right? You were going on vacation.
Yes.
Check engine light. I don't even know if you had a check engine light, but you did break down and you were stuck.
We were stuck for hours, and, like, it ruined our vacation. We had to get a tow truck. We were about an hour and a half into it. Had to get a tow truck to come tow us home. We had to switch cars. I mean, it ruined a whole entire day. And there is nothing worse and feeling helpless and being stuck on the side of the road. Plus, everybody looks at you crazy.
I feel like the check engine light in the 90s, all right, or the 2000s, it meant less. I mean, I had them on sometimes in some of those vehicles for quite a long time, all right? Mm-hmm. This one with this recent car, maybe I learned a lesson. It was definitely expensive.
Yep.
And it was a Friday and I didn't feel like walking either.
So you just decided to roll those dice,
yeah.
Ended up on the side of the road.
Nobody ever wants to be stuck. I mean, I had made an appointment to get it checked out, but not before it exploded.
In retrospect, do you still think, and I quote from earlier, 2 minutes ago, it worked out okay for you? Raven picked some top three news stories trending this morning, but you only get to hear about one. It's Anna and Raven. All right, Raven, here are the three headlines of the day. You can only pick one, okay?
Okay.
Number one, cheese is not bad for you after all, according to science. Number two, angry parent broke school board member's window, left misspelled note. And number three, a pilot spotted a UFO and American Airlines didn't deny it.
Well, I've already read the alien one and cheese. You know, I'll go back and do that research later on my own. So How about we do the school board story?
Sounds good. Okay. Someone in Sacramento who's angry about the school shutdowns broke a school board member's car window and left a note that says, bring kids back. But bring and back were both spelled incorrectly.
I mean, both words, two out of three?
Yes.
Two out of three words are misspelled?
And listen, look at how he spelled them.
Come on.
Bring, B-R-I-N-G-G, two Gs. Kids spelled correctly. Kudos for that. High five.
Yep, good.
And then back is B-A-C-C.
I mean, I imagine this in a scribbled, like, sense. Almost it looks like a crayon. But, you know, what adult is carrying a crayon around with them? Bring, you know, the two Gs. I almost feel like you could have got away with that for a minute because you're really trying to drive the point home.
Right.
Bring, not with one G, but with two Gs. But when you come back to back, it's clear you're just a fool.
Right. So what did the school board member say about the whole thing?
Maybe 9 o'clock, the neighbor had called and said, hey, your car window's busted out. And I, of course, jumped up, went outside, glass all in the street, glass in the car. I understand what was done to my house, but I'm not going to play victim. I'm not going to get scared.
Okay. You know,
all right, buddy.
Yeah, it's being brave.
I mean,
you
just got to call and make an insurance claim. That's all. But, you know, nobody's asking you to live in fear.
I don't want to say I know who did it.
It's his neighbor.
No.
It's clearly his neighbor.
No,
come on.
It's okay. Listen. Allegedly, this is what I believe.
Okay.
It's the way too aggressive parent on the PTA board.
Uh-huh.
Now, I have spent some time with, you know, the parent associations.
Sure, yes.
Yes,
yep, yep.
I understand how it works. Now, the school board and the PTA, I believe, in most school districts, are mortal enemies. Now, so I think that there's certain people that are on the PTA board.
Sure.
And
characters that you will find at every PTA across the country.
Right.
Yeah, I understand that.
So if you're on the PTA board, you're either the whiner, you're the person that you whine about absolutely everything. The color shirts are ugly. The ice cream sandwiches for field day are not gluten-free.
Right.
Like, you know, there's always one of those.
Sure.
There's the party mom that's on the PTA.
Just wants to have some sort of fundraiser or event.
Yep.
And arrange the potluck, and I'm going to be in charge of that.
All the time. And then she's always like, let's have the meeting at my house, and you show up and there's a full bar set up.
Yep.
Right? Side note, sometimes I'm the party mom. And basically, she uses the PTA to make friends because she just needs people that'll drink with her on a Tuesday night, a bottle of Cabernet. Okay. Number three, the person that has a profession that makes them an expert. So the lawyer on the PTA.
Yes, yes, yes.
The cop on the PTA.
Right, right.
They always
whoever
got
it is.
Something
right,
to
the
say.
Pro.
Right. But then there's the way too aggressive parent. And the way too aggressive parent is the one that, like, every time that there's a decision by the school board,
sure,
they're mad. They're so mad.
Right. There's got to be a fight. How did you come to this decision?
Yes.
Clearly, you're marginalizing either my student or some other students. And yes, I am angry.
And if I was going to give a spelling test to all the members of the PTA.
You're going to skip the lawyer, of course. The uh-huh. cop fills out a lot of things, so they probably know how to spell.
Mm.
Right.
Yeah, you know who fails the spelling test?
I guess it's the angry mom.
It's the way too aggressive parent. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is who smashed the window of the school board member.
Well, notify the cop that's on the PTA.
I will.
Do that immediately.
That's all I need to know about you.
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 You just have to fill in the blank. If you blank, that's all I need to know about you. It's Anna and Raven. Raven, this is going to get backlash. But if you arrest Bruce Springsteen for taking a shot of tequila in a public park, that is all I need to know about you.
I mean, I heard he was kind of lit.
Listen, this has been a moral dilemma for me since it was announced last month. I don't know why things like this bother me so much. So
why is that?
Right.
Because you love Bruce Springsteen, the boss?
I have immense respect for Bruce. I do.
Okay.
And I'm a fan. So when I first heard that he was arrested for DUI, I was like, wow, that must have been a hard decision for the cop. It's Bruce Springsteen. But I thought in my head, right, you have to arrest him because you have to show that everybody follows the same rules.
I mean, it's not just that. How about public safety?
Yeah, no, all of it.
I mean,
all
not just
it.
A rule, it's public safety.
But then, like, more details started coming out. And, you know, it was bad. Like, the Super Bowl commercial from Jeep got pulled down. There
right.
was a lot of
bad timing.
Media that was attached to it. Here's what happened. He was in a state park, and he was taking pictures with fans. Somebody offered him a shot of Patron. He took the shot of Patron. The officer saw him take the shot of Patron, and then he got on his motorcycle. They approached him. They took him down to the ranger office. They gave him a breathalyzer, and it was a .02. Now, in New Jersey.
Oh, well, then he should be fine. I'm sorry. I mean,
see,
I thought he was all slurred and glassy-eyed.
That's what
they
I'm talking
said.
About.
Yeah.
So, in New Jersey, the state legal limit there is .08. Okay.
Yeah.
So, he technically, you know, kind of, he didn't hit the legal limit, but they busted him for reckless driving and whatever, all the other things. He shows up to court yesterday, mm-hmm. a virtual court, and turns out he's let go. All he has to do is pay a $540 fine.
Yeah, okay.
And the fine is for that he took a shot of Patron in a state park, which, FYI, was legal until 2018. That's when it became a dry park.
So no drinking in that state park at this point.
Exactly.
Make a note of it, people. If you're out riding around in a white t-shirt and ripped jeans
yes.
with an American flag bandana, don't do that at that park.
Don't you think if you're that park ranger
yeah.
and he blows a .02, you're like, all right, boss, you know what? You're good.
Well,
or if you were me, I've already thought about this. You say, how about we just hang out here and you just hang out with me for 3 hours?
Well, I mean, I'll just say this. If it's a group of 50 bikers and he takes a shot of Patron in front of 50 bikers, then it creates a problem for the cop later on because then it's like, well, Bruce Springsteen can do it. How come I can't do it? So that on the one hand, that's that.
Mm.
On the other hand, if you blow a .02, I'm not sure why you're getting charged with DUI or OUI. That
because
doesn't make any sense.
He admitted that he was going to get on the bike.
Yeah, but you can have one drink
I
and
know.
Do that if you're below the legal limit.
That's
so
I'm
with
saying.
You on that.
That's
so.
All I need to know about you. Yeah. Let him go.
Well, not everybody's a grown-up all the time. Perfect example. Give
yeah.
it up for a Tennessee Titans player. If you are somebody that's willing to walk away from a $12 million contract because mm-hmm. your team didn't wish you happy birthday on social media, that's all I need to know about you.
Who?
What's going on, crazy guy?
Who did that?
Isaiah Wilson turned 22
yeah.
about 10 days ago, and the Tennessee Titans did not wish him a happy birthday on social media.
Oh, no.
This is a guy who, you know, just came into the league a year or two ago. Anyways, $12 million on his contract. He says he's done with the team. Done with the team because they didn't wish him a happy birthday.
There's people like that, Raven. I mean, everybody's got that one friend that's like waiting for you to post happy birthday on their Facebook page.
$12 million, be a grown-up.
Well, they should have wished him a happy birthday, I guess, right?
That's
all I need to know about you. Be honest, Raven. Do you like vegetables?
Yeah, I'm not against vegetables. I'm not a veggie hater or anything like that. I mean, I'm sure there's probably a few out there I don't like. You remember when I tried those fiddlesticks things or fiddle faddles?
Fiddleheads.
Oh, yeah. Those aren't great.
I'm glad those went out of style.
Yeah, they became a thing like last year for a minute, and they're not delicious.
No. But if you didn't have to eat them, like, would you?
If my body didn't crave them, I suppose probably not. Cheeseburgers would be fine for me the rest of my life.
Yeah, it's Anna and Raven. 25% of adults don't like veggies, and they don't eat them. I don't like veggies. I force myself to.
Okay.
But I don't like them. I don't enjoy them at all. 9 times out of 10, like, if there's a vegetable on my plate, I probably will find a way not to eat it.
Really?
Yeah, and the only reason why I make it is because I make them for my husband. And I don't even force my daughters to eat them because I figured, like, if I don't
You're
like
still
them,
alive.
Yeah, I've made it this far. Like, they're always there, and I always offer, but I'm not one of those moms that's going to shove broccoli down my kids' throats.
I mean,
so
you
I'm
know the percentages of what it's supposed to be, what the recommended stuff is with vegetables. You know the health ramifications. It's supposed to help you live longer. You'll be healthier. Your body doesn't just crave it. I mean, that's the thing is if I eat nothing but junk for like 4 or 5 days, like my body craves something that's green, whether it be, I mean, I don't know if salad counts as veggie. I would imagine it does, right?
Gosh.
So, but even, you know, like my body will crave something green.
But you do it because your body wants it. Like my body
So it tastes good at that point.
No, I force myself to eat it. Like when I eat a salad, if you see me eating a salad, which you will see, it certainly happens often. Hmm. I want you to know that a little part of me inside is dying.
While you're eating said salad.
Yeah, we order like lunchtime. We always order food here.
Just talking about it now.
We're ordering it now. And talking about these big, delicious, beautiful sandwiches. And you know what I'll get, Raven? The saddest spinach salad, and I won't enjoy any of it, but I'll eat it because I have to. And it actually makes me feel somewhat better that I'm not alone. The top three reasons that people say, well, I should say excuses that they give that they don't eat vegetables.
Okay.
Number one, they don't like certain textures.
Well, I kind of get that because there's certain things that I don't like to eat, too.
The broccoli. So I had broccoli for the first time maybe about a year ago. You forced me to eat it.
Yeah.
And the tech, it's like trees
in
your mouth.
It's a little tree. It's a little tree in your mouth. You don't like trees?
I just don't like the feeling of it. It's like a fur.
I get it. That's how I am with sushi, and you love sushi.
I do.
I don't want to eat it.
Okay. Number two, I'm just a picky eater overall. I mean, not really picky.
Yeah, but when you're an adult, you don't get to say things like that. We all have things as adults that we don't want to do all the time, and we have to do them anyways. So you don't get to say that because that's what a six-year-old would say.
Well.
What's the third reason?
I can't make them taste good.
Oh, come on with that.
What do you mean?
Salt and pepper.
Yeah, but I put salt and pepper on things. It still tastes nasty. Like the top three vegetables that people love is like broccoli, asparagus, and spinach. Every single one of those I make with oil, garlic, salt and pepper. And every single one of those I don't like. I force myself to eat them.
Drop
the
some
broccoli.
Butter on that too, man.
Ugh,
ooh,
gosh.
Recipe for success.
Well, based on number three, I can't make them taste good. We thought we would turn to Chef Plum from the Food Network to ways that you can make vegetables actually taste delicious. And that's going to be coming up next with Anna and Raven. You always hear about kids not eating their veggies, but the top three reasons why adults say they don't eat their veggies. Number one, I don't like certain textures. Number two, I'm just a picky eater overall. And the number three reason, I feel like I can never make them taste good. And that's why we have Chef Plum from the Food Network. It's Anna and Raven.
Hey.
Chef Plum, what do you think about this nonsense? People don't like vegetables. I'm not going to lie. I'm one of those people.
Come on. Vegetables are absolutely delicious. You can eat them raw. You can cook them. You can dip them in delicious sauces. Who doesn't love vegetables?
Most Americans, according to the survey.
That's false. I love vegetables. I loved broccoli when I was young. What kind of six-year-old loves broccoli? This one.
Mm.
Hey, let me tell you what. I used to trick my kids into eating broccoli by allowing them to dip it in honey.
Oh.
You're building the immune system at the same time. The trickery is strong in you.
That's right. That's right. The key thing is I think you got to trick them into it. Well, no, that sounds terrible.
It's accurate.
Well, maybe. Maybe it is. The other thing you can do, listen, and I do this now for some clients of mine, is you have to hide them, right? Hide the vegetables. Make them a smoothie, but throw some kale and carrots and things like that in there. Make them a delicious egg frittata or something like that, but chop up vegetables very small and put them in there as well. It's a really easy way to get the vegetables into the diet without having people actually have to feel the crunch of a carrot or the snap of a piece of fresh celery in their mouth.
That's a great tip. I feel like people always say to me, well, you don't like Brussels sprouts because you don't make them the right way. But for some reason, whenever the right way involves maple syrup and bacon, which to me defeats the whole purpose of eating a Brussels sprout and trying to be healthy.
Salt and oils. That's all I need.
Hey, listen, Brussels sprouts with a little bacon and maple syrup sounds delicious. I'm not going to lie. But here's the deal. You're still getting the Brussels sprout, though. Listen, maybe you're getting the maple syrup and you're getting that bacon in there, but all these things are great in moderation. It doesn't worry me or scare me at all, but you're still eating the Brussels sprout, which is the primary component of the dish. So don't be afraid to put fun things on top of it to make it taste better to you or to make it seem more fun for the kids to eat.
What exactly is a fun thing besides bacon and maple syrup?
Cheese.
Oh.
Cheese is great to put on stuff, of course. And then the other thing, having lots of different types of dipping sauces. I know that my kids love to dip stuff. They don't eat ranch, though, which is kind of interesting, but they like to dip the vegetables in certain things. So, you know, I find that if I can come up with great dips, hummus or like a salsa works great for getting vegetables in the gut.
You know, I know another way to get people to eat vegetables, Anna. Take away all the rest of their food. Don't give them any other option.
Starvation.
You
want to
eat? Here's the veggies.
Good.
That's all you get. And the fun thing about eating celery is you can eat celery and still starve to death. So that's the fun part.
What? That's like a weird thing you read on a Snapple cap and you've been holding on to that forever.
It is true.
Oh, it's very, very true because it's calorie negative when you eat it. It takes more calories to digest and eat it than it does to actually, eat it.
My wife gives me that with dip. Over cookies now. It's the saddest.
Honestly, like I said, hiding the stuff actually works pretty well. Making juices at your house is very, very easy. You can get a juicer on Amazon for very cheap now. Making smoothies is a great way to hide vegetables. Sometimes some people even make, I've done it. I make a pot of chili and I put chopped kale in it. So it's a great way to hide those leafy greens in the soup.
Trickery. That's what you got to do. And I'm not against it. If it works, it works.
As long as they're getting it in and they're getting those vegetables, that's all we care about.
Chef Plum from the Food Network. You can visit him online at chefplum.com or on Instagram at Chef Plum.
I swear I'm not a bad person. I'm not hiding vegetables from my kids. I just like to make them think they're not eating it.
In this situation, it's not the kids that are the problem. It's the adults. What was your awkward first date? What happened? 1-800-330-9999. Sienna and Raven. This woman was asked on a date. She said yes. Then he was dropped off at her house so she could drive. And, well, here's what happened.
I don't know who dropped him off. He just got dropped off. He asked me, could I go in the gas station for him to get a cigar? He just drove off. I came outside and my car was gone. I hope he's in jail for a long time. I never want to speak to him ever again.
What do you bet that if he does go to jail, he writes her a letter?
Right.
What do you bet? Let me tell you.
Listen to the way she said it. Mm-hmm. Like,
I never want to speak to him ever again.
Wait a minute. You're considering a second date after the dude stole your car?
I'm sure he was very smooth. You know, everybody's looking for love. It's a human emotion. We all want some sort of, solidification of what it is that we do as a human. That gives us a sense of worth for some people.
Love makes people do the dumbest things.
Oh, no question about it. Yeah. Of all the things that we do, love is probably the most powerful emotion to make us do dumb things.
It's true. I keep thinking about it. I'm like, the guy got dropped off at your house, told you had to drive. You're driving the car, tells you to stop at the gas station. He makes you get out of the car to go get him a cigar. Steals your car.
Yeah.
And then you have to contemplate whether you should ever see him again.
I think she should probably raise her standards a little bit would probably be a good idea, right? I mean, if somebody's getting dropped off, all right, that's one flag. Mm. You're like, okay, circumstances happen.
Yes.
Then we drive to the gas station. You ask me to go get you a cigar. Get out of my car.
Right. Exactly.
Get out of my car right now.
Awkward first dates, though. They certainly do happen. What was the most awkward first date you ever had, Raven?
So when I was, 18 years old and I was living in Cali at the time, I was working, Six Flags. I was an amusement park worker for a moment there. You love that ranger outfit I tell you about that I had to wear.
Short shorts, he says.
Yes. Mm-hmm. In the integration program, in the training program, I met a lovely girl there and I asked her out. Of course, I didn't know anywhere to go because I had just moved to that area. So we went to the amusement park for her first date. Don't ever go to a water park for your first date. When you come down the slide, it's nothing but a wedgie machine, man. Mm. And then you never look cool picking that thing out when somebody just met you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was uncomfortable.
No.
Didn't find love there.
I just feel like also as a woman, I mean, how long can I suck my stomach in a water park? like at the first 5 minutes, I'll, like, you know, I'm all positioned correctly. But when you're flying through the air on a water slide, like, it's hard to look, like, good and put together and 5 pounds lighter, like, sucking everything in.
I mean, again, we were like 18, 19. Metabolism wasn't a problem at that point in our life.
Right? It was a different time.
That's right.
I was thinking about it. It's just, I didn't date a whole lot of guys before my husband because I met him so young. But the guy with the samurai swords, always.
Right.
Yeah. I went on my first date. He was actually the bouncer at the best bar in my college town. And he liked me. And I didn't like him. But my girlfriends were like, if we're going to keep getting into this bar, you got to go out with this guy. So you got to take one for the team. I went out for the guy. He invited me back to his apartment. I went. I walked in. There were samurai swords everywhere.
Oh, my gosh.
I just sat there with my hands in my lap the whole time, terrified.
Terrified, right.
He's such a nice guy, you know?
But will I leave this apartment? That was really your thought.
Yeah, good news. I survived. Yeah. A woman got asked out on a first date, and the car got stolen. Her car. She was driving. Awkward, right? This is what she said about it.
I hope he's in jail for a long time. I never want to speak to him ever again.
Like, she was contemplating a second date. The dude stole your car. What?
Sometimes we make bad choices when we're in search of love, Anna. Well, it's tough to be lonely.
No, I know. And listen, first dates are always somewhat awkward because you don't know what to expect. But what happened on your awkward first date? 1-800-330-9999. Hi, it's Anna and Raven.
Well, I actually met this girl online, and we went out to a Japanese restaurant. And I didn't know that we booked a hibachi table with two large other families there, and we were right in the middle of two big families. Very awkward for a first date. Couldn't even hear each other speak. They were throwing stuff at our faces, and it was awkward.
My first question is, if she catches the shrimp in her mouth, is she a keeper?
Right.
Yes, no, circle one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's hand-eye coordination. It kind of alludes to what to expect from you later, you know?
Conversation aside, all that other awkwardness, once she blew out the flaming volcano of onions, I knew she was the one for me.
Absolutely. Santa and Raven, what happened on your awkward first date?
I took a girl to my favorite Italian restaurant. Couldn't wait to get into my meal. She ordered fettuccine Alfredo, took 3 bites, and said, I'm full.
Oh, gosh.
That's always terrible.
And I was so hungry, I wanted to eat my meal.
Right.
And I sat there like a gabon.
Stomach growling on the way home. Can't wait to get her out of the car so you can go home and hit the microwave.
I feel like girls don't do that anymore. They're like, where they only eat 3 bites of food.
The salad?
Yeah.
Where they don't, I'll just have a salad.
Yeah,
they don't do that anymore.
Like, there's no world where I'm going out to a nice restaurant and I'm just ordering a salad. Anna and Raven, what was your awkward first date?
Okay, I went on a date. I met the guy. He was a lawyer at traffic court. And so we talked for about 3 weeks, and then we went out on a date. And the first part of the date was good, you know, and then we were just, you know, he answers the phone. He had a phone call. He answers the phone, and then he says, it's his mother. And so all of a sudden he starts, and he's driving now. All of a sudden he starts cursing at his mother, calling her, like, you know, the B word and all of this other stuff. And as he's doing this, the car's getting faster and faster and faster.
My gosh.
Oh, my gosh.
So all of a sudden I have my hand on my mace because I always bring my mace on my first date.
Smart.
I have my hands on my mace. I'm looking around it to see if there's any airbags around to make sure that it was safe. I had my seatbelt, and I'm, like, praying that I don't get in an accident. And finally he looks over at me after he's done yelling at his mother about, this is how you were when I was a kid and all this other stuff. He goes, I guess you want to go home. I was like, it wouldn't be nice. But you don't have to drive me. You can pull over right here. On the way home.
Good for you.
Oh, my gosh.
Safety first, right. You're just hoping for a slow turn at that point so you can barrel roll out of the vehicle. Good for you.
He was like,
exactly. I was like, he doesn't even have to bring me home. Just pull over and I'll get out. I have brothers that'll come get me.
Woman got asked out on a first date. The guy showed up, didn't have a car, so she drove. And then he stole her car. Yeah, and then she said this.
I hope he's in jail for a long time. I never want to speak to him ever again.
Was there going to be a second date when somebody steals your car?
I'm telling you, it sounds like it's leaving it open. And I guarantee you, if he's going away for a bid, he's definitely going to write her a letter. 100%.
That's an awkward first date. Definitely awkward. What happened on your awkward first date? 1-800-330-9999. Hey, Anna and Raven.
I started out really great. Actually, we went out to a fancy steakhouse for dinner. It was wonderful. He's driving me home, gets pulled over for a traffic infraction, and we're sitting there waiting and waiting, and more cops pull up.
I knew it.
And all of a sudden...
they drag him out.
All of a sudden, they drag him out of the car, they arrest him, they leave me with his car.
What?
And say, just take it home. There was a warrant out for his arrest, so I drive his car home. And his parents had to come pick up his car from my house the next day.
Wait a minute.
I mean, that's the thing. First date, you don't even know where this man lives, right? Probably.
Wait, so how long have you guys been married now?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, Anna and Raven, what's your awkward first date story?
On the first date, after speaking with this girl for about a week and a half, she shows up to the coffee shop with her mother.
Oh, no. No, no.
We had an old coworker like that, Raven, remember? She would go everywhere with her mom, and her mom used to set her up on all the dates.
Who was that?
So it wouldn't have been so bad, but her mom didn't want to sit at the same table, so she awkwardly sat right across from us. And the problem was that I was cracking jokes trying to make it normal, but the girl on the date wasn't laughing. Her mom was.
I think I know who you went out with.
Oh, my gosh.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What happened on that awkward first date?
Hey, so we had been talking for a while before we actually made the date, and he was like really great about making arrangements, and he invited me, and he's like, okay, I want to take you somewhere nice, blah, 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 whatever. Anyway, cut to, we get to the place. And as soon as we sit down at the restaurant, he goes, okay, let's make something clear. We're going Dutch on this. We're splitting the check. You need to be okay with that. Like, he got really weird about it. And I was like, I'm usually like, okay, I'm fine splitting the check, but like to be that adamant and that's the first thing that comes out of your mouth.
Yeah. That's weird.
Okay.
You know what it was? He didn't want to think that he owed you anything. Like Anna.
Oh, here we go.
Anna used to never let anybody buy her food or anything like that because she thought that meant that she owed them favors
They
bought her meal.
So
that's what
day.
He was doing.
Yep.
He just wanted, you can rip his clothes off after and treat him like a piece of meat. You can't objectify that gentleman once you guys have gone Dutch. That's all. It was your mistake, not his.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What was your awkward first date?
So this guy brought me to an escape room, and the whole time we were trying to, like, figure out the, you know, puzzles and all these things, he kept making these jokes about how this was, like, a plot to kidnap me and that we were, like, stuck in this room together. It was incredibly awkward, and you know what? I wasn't going to call him, but he never called me after that night.
That is weird.
No, it's a joke.
Right, but... like,
it's just a joke. But, I mean, you both left there.
Yeah. But if I was, like, in an escape room and the guy kept saying something to me like, we're never getting out of here, we're here together, I'm going to kidnap you. I think any time a first date uses the word kidnap, it's a little bit of a red flag.
Well, that's true.
What was your awkward first date? Head to our Facebook page, let us know there. Search for Anna and Raven. Do you think you can do your spouse's job? A majority of Americans say, no way, absolutely, I can't do what my spouse does every day. It's Anna and Raven. Raven, I have no idea what Paul does, my husband, at his job.
I know. We've covered this quite a few times, actually. He's a finance guy. And I say that because I actually am not sure what he does either.
Right.
I know he's doing something.
So I have it rehearsed. So whenever somebody says, what does your husband do for a living?
Yeah, what do you say?
I say, he's a finance guy at a Fortune 500 company. Because I think that's why you said he's a finance guy, because that's the term I use, because I don't really understand all the other stuff. All I know, there's so many spreadsheets.
Right.
And there's so many numbers.
He's probably got a calculator in his desk.
He doesn't, because he does everything on these magic computers. He's got like four screens now that he's working from home. And
oh,
I see.
Oh, my gosh.
So I don't know. But here's what I know, that if he was sick one day and he said, babe, I need you to step in.
Go in for me.
Right.
It could be the end of the U.S. economy.
There's no way. I would. That's it. But the irony behind all of that is that we have one of those jobs that everybody thinks they can do our job.
Oh, don't make us sound like we're...
But it's true. It's true.
I know, but you don't say that out loud.
But it's true.
You should have warned me you were going to say that. Seriously.
Right. Uh-huh. But... what would happen if we asked our spouses who live with us and know us and love us if they could do our jobs? Ooh. What do you think they would say?
You know, my wife's a pretty confident woman.
Mm-hmm. Well, we start off by asking my husband, Paul, and this is how it went. What do you think I do all day at my job? Name three things that you think I do.
I think you talk and then get a cup of coffee, and then do some editing of audio, come up with some great topics, stay up to date on all the pop culture.
Okay. I think he realized at that point that, like, after he said, I talk and get coffee, he was like, oh, no, she's gonna beat me with something.
Right.
Yeah, right.
Right. So then he started repeating things that he thinks he's heard you say before that you needed to do.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, cut audio, like, that's not right.
Right. I mean, he doesn't even, what does that mean?
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah. Now, do you think that you could do my job?
I think I could do an okay job at your job.
Why do you think that?
Well, I can talk, but I don't think I can be quick and witty like you.
Okay, that was nice. That was a nice compliment. If you were to host the Paul show, what would it sound like? What would you talk about?
I would probably end up talking about sports.
So, like, give me an intro. What would you say?
This is the Paul Zapp show. We're here to talk 24/7 football.
He feels good about that.
Yeah, he feels really confident.
It's very funny, though, but when you say to him, I want you to listen for the sound. I want you to go back just for a second to the part where you say, that was very nice of you to say.
Yeah.
You can hear you smile through the teeth. It's almost like getting a compliment from a dragon. Well, listen to this line one more time.
Let me see where it is.
Yeah.
Okay, that was nice. That was a nice compliment.
You hear it? It's right there behind the teeth. That was nice. That was a nice compliment. I'll eat you if you go to sleep.
Yeah.
That's what that sound sounded like.
But ultimately, he believes that he could come here every day and, and do what we do. And I guess he could, right?
Well, you know, listening to other sports broadcasts, I feel like he's right in line already with the top in the industry.
24/7 football.
Right.
That's happening on the Paul Zapp show. But what does Alicia, Raven's wife, think? Could she do his job? What's coming up next with Van and Raven? Do you think you can do your spouse's job? Can you name three things that they do every day when they go to work? A majority of Americans say no. It's Hannah and Raven. If you missed it a few minutes earlier, we asked my husband, Paul, my husband, who spends every day of his life with me, does he think he could do my job? Here's what he said.
I think I could do an okay job at your job.
He thinks he can do an okay job at my job.
Sure.
Yeah.
He can show up.
He thinks it's easy.
Be a warm body in the seat, but he'll do it.
I have no idea what he does every day. There's no world where I could do his job. Absolutely.
He's a finance dude.
That's all we know.
That's what he does.
So many numbers.
Right.
Spreadsheets.
Right.
I have no idea.
A lot of money.
Yeah. Do you think Alicia has respect for what we do?
Well, I think she has respect for what we do, but my wife also has an abundant amount of confidence as well. So, she, you know, much like myself.
So what do you think three things I do every day are?
Press buttons.
Yeah.
Yell at people and try not to swear.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I have so many questions.
She's not wrong.
What? Hold on. Yes. Raven is in charge of pushing buttons.
I'm the button pusher on this side. Yep.
Some days are easier than others.
That's true. I'm not saying I do it flawlessly. That's right. Some days are better than others.
Right. Our main job is not to swear because there's FCC fines that go up to
$10,000. Well, that's like,
true.
It's a main part of our job. It's not our main job. No, our main job is to entertain. But yes, that's the number one thing you can do to get escorted out of the building.
It's true. If you're going to be a DJ, you have had that nightmare where you say a bad word on the air and you know that your career is over.
Got to have a filter.
Yeah. But who does she think that you're screaming at all day?
Well, I mean, besides you.
Yeah. You don't scream at me. I mean, not really.
No, but she knows that we bicker, much like her and I do.
Okay. She just thinks that we're just yelling at each other all day?
You know, she thinks like you, my voice is always, when I'm on the phone, she thinks I'm yelling at people.
Well, that's because you sound like a Muppet.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
If you had to, could you do all three of those things and could you do it well?
Oh, absolutely. I feel like the last one, probably not.
So the swearing. That's the one that you worry about the most.
Yeah. I feel like I press buttons and yell at people pretty well.
Right. So she can do all the other stuff. She just can't not swear.
In my house, my wife is the phone call maker when, you have to deal with anything, insurance, contract, anything that might be unpleasant out there in the world. My wife is the one that makes those calls. And she doesn't yell, but you know she's angry.
So you think that that is the number one reason why she would be a good on-air DJ?
Well, I mean, the thing is she also cusses like a truck driver when she gets rolling.
So maybe then
so
that
maybe,
wouldn't
work maybe
out.
Not.
Okay.
Let's just have her stay at home.
What makes you think you could do those things well? The things that I do well?
Because I'm awesome. Yeah. And I'm a girl. And we could do whatever you boys do.
It's true. Maybe, that is 100% accurate.
Maybe I shouldn't have talked to her right after she made dinner, after working out, after doing all the great things that she did throughout the day.
Multitasking is definitely something you need to do if you want to have this job.
Her confidence was high.
Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day, a couple joins us and let us know what their disagreement is about, and then you decide who's right. Joe and Allison. Allison, let's start with you. What's going on?
We have a little boy, 5. His lizard just died, right? And my husband has told our son that the lizard was just not feeling well and is at the vet.
Or the lizard went to the farm. He went to the farm to just relax a little bit, Anna. Or is the farm when they're really dead?
No, the farm is when they're really dead.
Oh, okay.
Being at the vet is like they're just at the vet down the street.
Oh, and then he's going to come back.
It's at the hospital.
Okay.
Oh, all right.
So now he's dead.
Yep. And I'm just like, why are you going to lie to him? I mean, just, you know, tell him he's dead. Like, be honest. But he has like this plan.
Oh, boy, a plan, huh?
Mike, what's your plan?
Okay, sorry.
it's all right. Listen, I'm going to go to a pet store, find a lizard that looks the same as his old lizard, and just replace it. And he's not going to know. Actually, he's 5 years old, and it's been a terrible year. I don't feel like talking to him about death and, I don't know, like the real world death talk. He doesn't need it, you know?
I mean, the real world death talk as it pertains to a gecko? I mean, sooner or later, right, he's going to figure that out. How many lizards do you perceive look just like this lizard? You think he's going to notice the difference? Because, I mean, I get what you're saying. People did this with the goldfish forever.
It's not a dog. Yes. He can't tell a difference. I mean, unless it's a completely different
lizard.
Maybe
he loves that lizard. You don't know.
I mean, he's a bright kid, but I don't think he's going to notice, honestly.
If he's walking around with that lizard, loving that lizard like it's his best friend, I don't know, man.
How old is he?
He's 5.
He's 5.
Oh. I see both sides of this.
You should definitely lie to protect his delicate sensibilities.
Oh, no, don't start now.
That's what Anna's thinking.
Let's see what our audience has to say. I don't know. It's tough. You don't want to hurt this little these little feelings. He loves his lizard. All right, they may agree with you, Joe. What's the big deal? Replace the lizard. Like, it's been a rough year. Give him a pass this time. But they may see Allison's side, too, that at some point he has to learn that animals pass away, and this is a good time and a good learning experience for him to do that.
Absolutely.
1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? It's the Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
Well, Joe and Allison's 5-year-old son had a lizard. The lizard has passed away, but Joe immediately told their son, no, he's at the vet. He's at the vet. He's going to be okay. Allison says, we can't lie to him. His lizard is gone. Joe just wants to replace the lizard, so he'll never know the difference.
It truly is a moment of desperation when a child comes to you and they're upset. You just want to fix it. You know what I mean? You just want to take that pain away, especially when it's your kid. And if you're caught off guard, which you often are by death, obviously, whether it be a lizard or whatever, you know, you don't know what the first thing that's going to come out of your mouth is.
What do you think? 1-800-330-9999. Couples Court with Anna and Raven. Whose side are you on?
I'm on the husband's side. We actually did that also to my son when he was about 5, but we had 3 lizard placements. And we never really told him till 25 years later. He got over it.
Her son is 45 years old and has the same lizard from when he was 6.
So let me understand this. So the lizard was replaced 3 times, or you had a mass killing of 3 lizards at once?
No, they just kept dying.
Okay, all right, because I was worried. Maybe you guys need like a CO detector or something like that in the house.
Yeah. No.
Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Couples Court, Anna and Raven. Joe and Allison have a 5-year-old son, and his lizard has just passed away.
It is sad.
Except Joe didn't tell his son that the lizard died. Said he's at the vet because he's sick. Allison goes, we have to tell him. Joe goes, no, we don't. We just need to go buy another one and replace him and not say a word. He's had a rough year.
We're hearing the argument that it's not a dog. It's not a cat. It's not quite as recognizable. I don't know. Maybe he hugs this lizard a lot. How do you know he's not going to know?
Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Couples Court, Anna and Raven.
I am on her side because children learn grief by looking at pet first, then grandparents later, then parents eventually. This is part of the process, and he's denying him first step.
By that token of information, should we select their first pet to be something with a very short lifespan?
Well, we have flushed a lot of goldfish in our time in my house. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Whose side are you on?
I'm actually on the husband's side. He's not old enough to know the difference. He can probably find a lizard that looks like him, but if he didn't, he's still going to have to tell him the truth.
What if that lizard has like a black mole or a stripe or something? Do you use a Sharpie to disguise the lizard?
Yes, obviously.
Clearly. Right. Clearly, right.
Anna and Raven, whose side are you on?
I am on the husband's side. He's only 5. You should lie to him and get him another one.
Yeah. Like, I kind of agree. Isn't that awful? I do.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Joe, our audience agreed with you. Allison, give him a pass. Just give him a pass this one time.
Yeah.
Let him replace the lizard. It's all right. You know, he can learn more about death in the future. Not today.
The people have spoken, Allison. They agree
Fine.
With me, you see?
You know what? Fine, I agreed to this, but I do not agree with you.
Oh, come on!
I got a feeling that Allison was looking at this as a good window to get rid of a lizard, not have a lizard in the house. And that's just not the way it's working out this time.
Oh, my God. I'm not totally unhappy about it, that's for sure.
Wait a minute. Are you implicating Allison in this whole thing?
Not at all. I'm just saying, you know, it seemed like an easy out, and now it's different.
All right, if you have a problem, too, send an email, couplescore@annaandraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Who's this?
Marie.
Marie, you're up. Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, can you please leave the room?
Sure. Good luck, Marie.
All right, Marie, here's how it works. I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. You answer them as quickly as you can. I'll bring Raven back in and ask him the same 5 questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. Okay. If it's a tie, it goes to Raven. But if you beat him, that $1,200 is all yours. You ready to play?
I'm ready.
All right, number 1, Robin Thicke just dropped his first album in 7 years. He and Pharrell Williams recently lost a copyright infringement lawsuit to the family of what soul singer?
Marvin Gaye.
Number 2, Shailene Woodley, star of Big Little Lies, is engaged to Aaron Rodgers of the Green Bay Packers. What sports star did Aaron Rodgers date before dating Shailene?
Oh, gosh, I have no idea.
Time's up, Marie. Number 3, Bruce Springsteen. He pleaded guilty yesterday to drinking in a federal park, but charges of drunk driving and reckless driving were dropped. What car brand dropped his Super Bowl commercial after the initial charges?
I have no idea. Ford.
Number 4. What author, TV personality, cooking entertainment star is still upset that her probation officer would not let her host Saturday Night Live?
Martha Stewart.
And number 5. Detective Chinatown 3, the 3rd film in the Buddy Cop series, grossed $424 million during its first weekend of release in China. That's the biggest opening in a single market ever, shattering the previous record held by what 2019 American movie?
I have no idea.
Oh, Marie. All right, let me bring Raven back in.
You.
All right. Well, Marie got 2 out of 5.
Not too good, Marie, for $1,200. Let's see how I do.
Number 1, Robin Thicke just dropped his first album in 7 years. He and Pharrell Williams recently lost a copyright infringement lawsuit to the family of what soul singer?
Marvin Gaye, that's an easy one.
That is correct. Marie, you guessed that one right. Number 2, Shailene Woodley, star of Big Little Lies, is engaged to Aaron Rodgers of the Green Bay Packers. What sports star did Aaron Rodgers date before dating Shailene?
My girlfriend in my dreams, you remember, Danica Patrick, the one that laughs at all my jokes.
Yeah, Raven has a weird crush on Danica Patrick and has weird dreams about her, but we're not going to talk about that right now.
She has a crush on me.
Sure.
Remember.
Number 3, Bruce Springsteen pleaded guilty yesterday to drinking in a federal park, but charges of drunk driving and reckless driving were dropped. What car brand dropped his Super Bowl commercial after the initial charges?
Jeep, but he's laughing because he got that check cashed.
That is correct. Number 4, what author, TV personality, cooking star, entertainment star is still upset that her probation officer would not let her host Saturday Night Live?
I'll take a shot and say Martha Stewart.
That's the right shot. Yep. And number 5, Detective Chinatown 3, the 3rd film in the Buddy Cop series, grossed $424 million during its first weekend of release in China. That is the biggest opening in a single market ever, shattering the previous record held by what 2019 American movie release?
I'm going to take a guess and say Marvel's, Avengers Endgame, is it called? It's Endgame.
Yes.
Yes, look at me go.
I'm sorry, Marie. He beat you 5-2 this morning. That does get you your own Anna and Raven t-shirt.
This is Marie with my daughter, Samantha, and we can't beat Raven.
Well, thank you, Marie and Samantha, for playing. Hold on the line. We'll get all your info, okay?
Better luck next time.